And we're back, and it is the Taylor Report, CIUT 9.5 FM, and I think we are joined by Dimitri Lascaris. Are you there, Mr. Lascaris?
Yes, I am. Thank you.
Hey, well, thank you very much for taking the time. By the way, we're very glad you went to Venezuela. We were saying in the intro that not enough Canadians are going, particularly those with an open mind and some objectivity to look at the situation. A lot of us are worried about the way the stories are being reported here about the political leadership of Mr. Maduro, et cetera. In today's New York Times, they have a headline that says, footage contradicts U.S. claim that Maduro burned aid convoys, and that occurred on February 23rd. Now, of course, people can read you at Twitter at Dimitri Lascaris. You've pointed out that it's not just the U.S. administration, but your concern is the Minister Freeland and as others here echoed the claim about Maduro and actually added to the danger of something untoward happening because of misreporting. Could you talk about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's important to bear in mind the context here. The context is that, and we can explore this more fully, whether there's truth to this or not, but that the government of Venezuela has plunged the country into an economic crisis that is causing mass starvation. Mm-hmm. And that it is preventing people who are desperately in need of humanitarian aid from obtaining that aid. And this particular allegation that Venezuelan forces under the command of President Maduro set fire to trucks is clearly, in the context of, you know, claims that there's mass starvation, extremely inflammatory.
Yes.
And likely, for obvious reasons, to generate very considerable opposition to the government of Maduro in across the world, and particularly in Western countries that are trying to undermine his regime. So it's a very inflammatory claim, and great care has to be taken in these circumstances, particularly where you have the United States administration talking about the potential for war and having demonstrated in the past repeatedly its willingness to go to war on false pretenses and to cause massive suffering, as it did, for example, in Iraq and in Libya, is very careful. It's very important that our politicians be extremely responsible in terms of reporting what's actually happening on the ground. And it wasn't just Minister Freeland. It was also Minister Marie-Claude Bibeau, who joined in a statement issued on the 23rd, in which they repeated the false claim that forces under Maduro had burned humanitarian aid, set fire to trucks that were carrying humanitarian aid. And what's particularly appalling about this is that well before the New York Times issued this story, there was reporting on the ground, not from the mainstream media, not from the corporate media, of course, but from the independent press, and particularly Max Blumenthal of the Gray Zone Project, who was there on site and who produced video and photographic evidence at that time, on that day. I saw it myself on social media, mm-hmm. which cast very serious doubts on the claim. Mm-hmm. And even now that the New York Times, you mentioned, I think, off the top, the article was published yesterday, today, it was actually online, available yesterday. Mm-hmm. I've repeatedly called for Minister Freeland and Minister Bibeau to retract the statement, the allegation, and to my knowledge, they've not done that. Others have called for them on social media and elsewhere to retract the statement. They've not done that. So people who aren't, you know, paying attention to the New York Times, they may be continuing to be operating under the misimpression, because the statement is still out there and it's readily available on the Government of Canada website, mm-hmm. that the troops, Maduro's troops, set fire to humanitarian aid. And I mean, I think at a bare minimum, they have an obligation to correct that statement as quickly as possible so the public understands what really is happening.
Yeah. I read that statement. I was very glad you reprinted it. The idea of retraction and all that, it seems to me in order. But how about we also take them up on the they said that they would like to see an investigation and prosecution of those who carry this out. And since now we have some evidence that it seems to be the hoodlums who are on the Colombian side of the border, Maybe we ought to ask them to investigate and prosecute those people.
Yeah, I suspect their enthusiasm for an investigation will diminish now that we know who the real culprits appear to be. And it's important to understand that this is not the first instance in which there has been blatantly false reporting in Canada about what's happening on the ground. The CBC just issued a lengthy, effectively an apology and retraction of the claim that the Maduro government had blocked a large bridge connecting Colombia to Venezuela for the purpose of preventing humanitarian aid from entering the country. What in fact emerged, and again, this is something that's been known by people like me and others who are independent journalists or working for independent media mm-hmm. organizations, that bridge was never opened. It has never actually functioned, and they were making it sound.
And they went with that picture. They really do take us all for fools when they do that.
Yes, they do. It's astonishing how little respect they have for the public. And to me, the ultimate proof of that is that even when they're caught red-handed spreading falsehoods about what's happening on the ground, they don't retract the statements. Mm-hmm. At least not the CBC, to its credit, did that. But most corporate media organizations that have misreporting on Venezuela will not retract their false statements. And we now have politicians here in Canada who appear unwilling to do that either.
You know, that's really the concerning thing for me. Is it you know, and I, by the way, at Dimitri Lascaris, the Twitter account, you remarked on this congresswoman, quite a brave individual and very smart, Congresswoman Omar. Now, she does stand up and represent people and does her due diligence, as they say. Here, it seems to be our parliament is like a petrified forest. I don't hear anybody say anything.
You know, there have been modest protestations coming from the NDP. To her credit, Elizabeth May, you know, who's the sole member of parliament for the Green Party of Canada, quoted early on in this this fiasco, this attempt to undermine the Maduro government, Alfred de Zayas, the former special rapporteur of the United Nations, to the effect that what is being done to the people of Venezuela through these punishing, crippling sanctions could amount to a crime against humanity. So there have been isolated voices, but really nobody, as far as I know, in Parliament who is going the full step of saying, you know, the whole narrative is fundamentally flawed. The whole narrative about Maduro, about the Chavista Party, the Socialist Party in Venezuela, that ultimately what's really going on here is the public is being prepped for economic warfare and possibly something much worse, mm-hmm. military intervention at some stage. That's what's really going on. And we need to completely dissociate ourselves from this cabal of people that Trump has surrounded himself with, John Bolton, Mike Pompeo, and worst of all, Elliot Abrams, who's deeply complicit in war crimes and who's been convicted of lying mm-hmm. to law enforcement authorities. He's a convicted felon.
Yeah. He seems to enjoy lying. I mean, he almost has a kind of cynical smile on his face. When you watch him, I mean, he's done this since he was a teenager, apparently.
Well, this is what happens when you're able to lie with virtual impunity, even though he was convicted. He didn't serve any serious time for the falsehood that he uttered was quite of a serious nature. It was in the context of the Reagan administration's commission of severe violations of international law in Latin America. Mm-hmm. So, if you get away with lying constantly to pursue your own imperialistic agenda, then, you know, this is what you can expect to flow from the mouths of these people is yet more falsehood. They've never actually had to pay an appropriate penalty for misleading the public in these very important matters.
Yeah. On this matter of what the conditions are on the ground, I've seen reports that there are people in Colombia along that border who say, well, you want to help somebody who's hungry, you could start with us. Is there any evidence that the nutrition intake in Colombia is any better than it is in Venezuela?
No, I'm not familiar. I can't say really familiar with sort of the humanitarian conditions for Venezuelans who are on the other side of the border in Colombia. You know, and when I went to Venezuela, I confined my, I didn't have time to go outside of the capital. And my entire sort of fact-finding mission was in the capital. What I can say is that the sanctions are greatly exacerbating what is also already a very difficult situation, because Venezuela is deeply dependent upon oil. Something like 95% of its export earnings are from the sale of oil. Even Bloomberg itself, hardly a left-leaning pro-Maduro media organization, has acknowledged openly that when the sanctions were, the more crippling sanctions were imposed, that the Venezuela's production, oil production, and sales of oil plummeted. And, you know, already the country was suffering because of its dependence on oil and the precipitous drop in the price of oil during the last several years. So I think this is a quite a conscious effort on the part of the Western governments, and particularly the United States, to inflict suffering on those sectors of Venezuelan society that have tended to be most supportive of Chavismo. And those are the poor, the working class, and the mestizo population, which is a mixture of indigenous, African, and European origin. They constitute about 50% of the population, and they are the ones who are most vulnerable to sanctions, and they are the ones who are being most crippled by sanctions, most affected adversely by sanctions. And I think the whole objective here is to cause so much suffering amongst those segments of the population that support Maduro that that and Chavismo that their support for the movement will evaporate.
And if we want to provide aid, I just want to get this clear too. I know you could speak to this matter. That why do we use the word aid or humanitarian aid when we're not working through the United Nations or the Red Cross? Why would does Freeland and the other leaders and our political leaders identify this as aid? I mean, it struck me, it was clearly a provocation. If you wanted to give them aid, you go to a neutral party so that you're not questioning the sovereignty of the country, and the aid could pass, right?
Absolutely. In fact, for years, the Maduro government has been working with the Red Cross to deliver aid to the people of Venezuela. It has no problem doing that because the Red Cross, quite responsibly, does not politicize aid. It doesn't try to use aid as a tool for generating support for one particular regime or another. Its focus is entirely upon the well-being of the population that's suffering. And that option has always been available, as you rightly point out, to the Canadian government, but and to the U.S. government and other Western governments. But they're choosing to do it through this way and to bypass these international organizations precisely because their goal is to politicize the aid. It's to legitimize this self-declared president, Juan Guaido, and to delegitimize a government that was, according to the accounts of multiple groups of election observers, validly elected by the Venezuelan people in May of 2018 by a very significant margin. So all, that too is left out of the equation, that, that these, you know, these election monitoring groups, all of them said that, that Maduro was legitimately elected. The elections were free and fair. And let's recall that it was the same electoral system, the one that elected Maduro, was the same electoral system that enabled the opposition to gain a majority in the national legislature, and which enabled Juan Guaido to become the president of the National Assembly. The same
he didn't think that part of the election was fake or bad.
Of course. When the results
he liked the part where he got elected.
Right, precisely. When the result isn't the one that is desired by the opposition, then the electoral system is declared to be fraudulent.
Yeah, I really like that point. We're speaking to Dimitri Lascaris, and I know I'm taking up a lot of time with you, and I appreciate it, the time you're giving us. Now, this Lima Group exercise strikes me as kind of destructive of the Organization of American States on one part. And secondly, we have this new partner, free trade partner, Mexico, with 120 million people and a popular democratic government, and they don't agree with the approach at all that Canada's taking. They have maintained their recognition of Maduro. Why aren't we saying we ought to listen to Mexico, or at least sort of speak to them as a partner friend, the way we tend to do about the Americans?
And of course, it's not just Mexico, it's also Uruguay, Bolivia and Cuba, Nicaragua. And, you know, the reason why this Lima Group, you know, they've given this ad hoc collection of Latin American states, Canada, the fancy name, the Lima Group, it really isn't an institution, a formalized institution in any meaningful sense of the phrase. It was put together, in my view, precisely because they couldn't get the Organization of American States to support, the removal of Maduro from power. And in fact, there have been there are other states, for example, Antigua, that have been vociferously objecting to the fact that the president of the OAS has been running around acting as though the OAS actually supports this initiative, when in fact that is not at all the case. So I think Lima Group was intended to bypass the OAS, and no plausible, remotely persuasive explanation has been given for the Canadian government's opposition, the Lima Group's opposition, to the approach of Mexico and Uruguay, which is to try to bring the parties together to negotiate a resolution. And Maduro has said repeatedly that he's quite prepared to negotiate with the opposition, but Guaido and his circle of allies will not negotiate with Maduro. Mm-hmm. They refuse to do that.
Yeah. Well, that's very nicely stated. Dimitri Lascaris, such a great pleasure to talk to you, and I appreciate all your work. I hope we can talk to you sometime again soon.
Anytime. Thank you for having me.
Okie doke. Bye-bye. This is Taylor Report, CIUT, 89.5 FM. You can write to us, The Taylor Report, at CIUT.fm, now that I think of it. We're going to take a musical break, and it'll be our usual man, Lee Morgan, I bet. And we will come back with Stephen Gowans.